It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan Gervie & Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kaysen. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Carrie Kaysen.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles. I am Alan Gervie, and welcome. Welcome to Gervie's Law. I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn. And today, as usual, I am here to be the managing partner of your life. And I am joined by my beautiful and intelligent co-host, Miss Carrie Kaysen. Carrie, how are you?
You know, I'm good. I had a fun Halloween.
You did?
I did. I had a great Halloween despite everything that's going on in my life. I find time to have some fun. I think that's very important. I think it balances things out.
It's very important, and I actually saw some pictures of you on Facebook in Halloween costume, and you looked wonderful.
Well, thank you. We do a big thing for the kids every year. We had this 40-foot tunnel in front of the house where they had to go in, and we don't scare the little kids too much, but we scare people, and then they have to get their candy and walk back out. So
that's kind of cool.
It is. People look forward to it every year. So we had a great time.
You know, I was out last night trick-or-treating with little Hudson and Harper, my two little ones, and we were with a friend of yours, actually.
Who would that be?
Deb Carson.
Oh, Deb. She's wonderful.
She is wonderful.
She's great. She's a great radio host and great with sports as well. She's fantastic. Yeah.
She is a great radio host. She's with Fox Sports. And she has little Chase, who's friends with Hudson. And the two of them were so cute, holding hands, walking down the street, trick-or-treating.
I worked for 4.5 years with her. And so I saw her, you know, I watched her entire pregnancy and the birth and everything. That, you know, she was just so fantastic and so ecstatic about having a baby.
Yeah, she did. She had a baby a little later in life.
Yeah.
And she said that you sent some really nice congratulatory messages saying, you know, that you were so happy for her.
I was, and she brought the baby in. It was wonderful.
She's so cute.
Yeah, she's adorable.
And Hudson loves her. They had a little kiss moment yesterday, and Hudson was a dragon, and little Harper was a little pumpkin. In fact, I'll try and get a picture of them up on the Facebook page, because they did look really cute last night in their Halloween costumes. So if you go to Gervie's Law Facebook page, you can see, I'll get that picture up. Little Harper is a pumpkin and Hudson is a dragon, and we had a lot of fun. But, you know, I had a hard week this week. There was a couple of bad news that I personally had. One of them, of course, was our producer, Debbie Payne. Unfortunately, her mother passed away. So our condolences go to Debbie and her family.
Yes, absolutely.
And that was sad. And then, of course, 2 days ago, I found out that my best friend's son died. And so that was really hard for me, and I'm flying up to Victoria, British Columbia tomorrow.
To hear about that. That's terrible. I was going to say I had a bad week, but you know what?
Yeah, he was 22 years old.
We'll leave it with that, because that's awful.
Yeah, it is. So, but, you know, hey, we're moving on.
Well, we have something very, very good happening today. In fact, this is probably the most excited I've been to do Gervie's Law. I mean,
No way.
When you told me our guest and who we're having on today.
Erwin Chemerinsky.
No, he canceled.
Well, he had a priority. Last week I announced that Erwin would be on the show, but of course his daughter has a soccer game, unfortunately, today. Well, not unfortunately, and he did pick. He made the right choice.
He made the right choice, and honestly, I'm so happy he canceled.
We were going to be talking about his new book on the Supreme Court and all the failures of the Supreme Court, and now we have something even bigger and better, perhaps.
He's going to kill you if he's listening.
Well, he'll come back in, and I'm sure he's such a gracious guy that I'm sure he'll be very happy that we have none other than the most famous woman attorney practicing law in the nation today. Gloria Allred is with us.
We need is there any, like, applause? Come on, let's get with this.
You know, Gloria's here, and I just want, we don't have, where are the sound effects?
That's what I'm saying. Let's go, okay, wait, Okay, we don't hear you. They're clapping out there. We don't hear you.
The show before us, Money Matters, has every sound effect you can ever imagine.
We got to get on that.
Yeah, we got to get on it. Well, this is a legal show, and of course, I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn, so we have to keep it on the professional level. You know, I want to welcome Gloria to the show, and I want to ask her what it's like. And of all of her accomplishments, and I don't need to give her an introduction. She was parodied on Family Guy, The Simpsons, and South Park. I mean, isn't that the absolute pinnacle of a career, to be parodied on those programs? Gloria.
Hi, Alan. Thank you very much for having me. And it's fun to be on with you and Carrie. And I enjoy your show on Saturdays when I'm driving around listening to it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I was, I think they had me on The Simpsons as Lisa Simpson's lawyer.
Right, right.
When she was, I think, wanting to be on the football team.
That's it.
With the guys.
Right.
And then I think it was The Simpsons another time that had me on representing two gay men who wanted to be
married
in something. I don't know what. But, you know, because I do have a history of, maybe 35 years of fighting for lesbian and gay rights.
You're the ultimate advocate of justice and equality, and I don't think people realize that it's not only women's rights, but it's gay rights, it's workers' rights, disadvantaged people's rights.
Right. We were the first in California to challenge the ban on marriage equality in 2004, and we won. We fought that for 6 years, twice to the California Supreme Court, won the right for our clients to marry, and we were very, very honored to be able to fight that battle, which is so important to so many people.
Very, very important. And let me tell you how famous you are, because I'm not litigious. I've never been in a lawsuit. I've never had anything except for what's happening to me in the last year, right? So I didn't know lawyers, except for a couple of my friends were lawyers. But the first thing I said to my family when this all happened is, we have to get Gloria Allred. I mean, her name is synonymous with injustice. And, you know, whether or not, I don't know her take on my case, and I know that you knew my dad. I'm not going to bring you into it because I don't know what you know about the case. But the first thing I said was, we have to get Gloria Allred. She's going to help us. And then I realized, talking to some people, that this isn't a social injustice that you do. And I thought it was because it happened to so many families. But it was really... It was really something that was a bit different than what you do. So they're like, no, you got to go with a probate. Okay, what's probate? I've learned everything now. But, yeah, that's how famous you are, because it's the only name I could pull out of my head.
A lot of people don't realize that Gloria started the law firm of Allred, Morocco, and Goldberg, and they are an employment rights law firm. So there are so many cases that your firm has handled, and so many causes. And I say cases and causes because there's two different things. Some of them go through litigation. Others may be a claim with the labor board, or maybe for employment rights, or some sort of publicity to get the cause out there. Without that, people don't know what's going on. And I just want to talk quickly about this most recent news that we've read about or heard about on the radio and seen on TV about the two 13-year-old girls who were at Universal Studios at the Halloween Horror Nights, and they attended a stage show, and they were apparently called things like sluts and whores.
And hookers.
Does that happen in society today?
Yeah, by the way, we don't think of it as publicity. We think of it as a voice for victims. Mm. We personally don't think that victims should have to suffer in silence. And so we help in an appropriate case to provide a voice for victims. In this case that you're referring to, Alan, we represented, you're right, two 13-year-olds, Kayla Beals and Roxy Fisher. And they went to Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Studios, and when they went in, they were shocked when one of the cast members spoke to them, and one of our clients said, the woman was talking to some young men who were wearing flannel shirts, and called them flannel group. And one of our clients said, well, can we be part of the flannel group? Because we're wearing flannel as well. They're wearing flannel shirts and jeans.
Yeah.
And allegedly the woman said, no, you're 12, meaning 12 years old.
Right.
And then one of our clients said, no, we're 13. And allegedly she said, I don't care what you are. You're a bunch of whores. And then, you know, of course, my clients were very, very shocked. I mean, they'd only gone there because they wanted to have a scary but fun time and didn't expect someone to say that into the microphone. Then Kayla remembers that the woman responded, as I said, she's saying, I don't know what you are, but I know you're a bunch of whores. The woman asked Kayla and her two friends to come closer and said, come over here, hookers, and then said to one of the young women, what's your name? And she responded that her name was Roxy. And the woman then allegedly said, I'm just going to call you slut one, then slut two, and slut three. Of course, the girls were shocked. And then, as though those words were not bad enough, the woman then pointed to Roxy and said on the mic, how much would you pay for her? And one man held up a dollar, and then the woman said, no, the bidding starts at $200,000. And then Roxy and Kayla and their friend began to leave, and the woman said something to the effect into the microphone that the girls should get on their hands and knees because she knew this was a position that they were used to.
You know, that's all very shocking. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the difference between a legal case and perhaps just what Gloria's talking about now.
And I can also tell you the result.
Yeah, and we want to talk about that. People who are listening right now say, okay, that sounds inappropriate, but why do they have a lawyer? So you're listening to Gervie's Law. We're with Gloria Allred. We'll be back after this message.
It's about luck.
Luck be a lady tonight. Luck be a lady tonight.
It's about love. And now it's about time for the classic musical The New York Times Cheers defines Broadway Dazzle. It's about the hottest show you'll see all season. So get the winning ticket, Guys and Dolls.
Coming to Sagerstrom Center for the Arts April 14th through 19th. Visit scfca.org today.
With millions of businesses all in one place, YP can help you do pretty much anything. But can it get you to the moon? Well, you'll need a space helmet. YP has space museums. You'll need parts. YP has My Book, which helps you organize your favorite businesses, including hardware stores. YP even has a cheap gas finder, perfect for longer trips. YP, the even more powerful Yellow Pages. Download the app or visit YP.com. YP can do that.
I have to get to sleep.
Tom had a stressful day, and now he can't shut down at bedtime.
Need sleep.
To fall asleep fast, millions of people turn to Unisom sleep gels. They're non-habit forming and quickly help you sleep soundly so you wake recharged. Tom? Unisom sleep gels. A stressful day deserves a restful night. Use as directed. Active ingredients diphenhydramine hydrochloride.
If you're an individual investor looking for tax-free income, consider municipal bonds. Henyon & Walsh is a leading independent expert in municipal bonds. For over 20 years, they've been helping individual investors like you build bond portfolios. If you have at least $10,000 to invest, call Henyon & Walsh today for your free bond guide. Call 1-800-908-0673. That's 1-800-908-0673. Maybe subject to local, state, or alternative minimum tax. Henyon & Walsh, Inc., member of FINRA, SIPC.
Talk Radio.
KABC.
You've heard of Murphy's Law, but have you heard of Gervie's Law? Anything that can go wrong can be made right. Now, here are your hosts, Kerry Kasem and Alan Gervie.
We are speaking with the Gloria Allred today, and I'll tell you, all I want to say to you, Gloria, is welcome home.
Well, thank you very
much. Welcome home. For those of you who don't know this, Gloria had a radio show right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC for about 14 years.
Yes.
And your co-host was Mark Taylor, is that right?
Some of the time.
Some of the time.
And some of the time I did the show myself. And I enjoyed every minute of every day of the 14 years.
Wow.
I have a question about that because What do you enjoy more, having a co-host or doing it by yourself?
Well, I mean, both. They were very different, and I just enjoyed it, and I enjoyed the callers calling in and good, strong debate with them and talking about all the issues in the news.
Right.
And I love politics. I'm a political junkie. It was very, very enjoyable.
You know, Carrie, are you suggesting something that perhaps you want to do the show by yourself?
Or maybe I want to team up with Gloria.
Oh, is that what
you mean? If you ever do the show again, maybe you'd use me.
Yeah, this is a women's rights show, right. So I'm going to be leaving.
On the women's rights, shall I tell you what happened?
I want to know what Universal Studios.
We want to hear what happened, because this is very important. A lot of people are hearing this for the first time. And if you weren't here before the break, Gloria was telling us about her two clients who were 13-year-old teenagers who went to Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights, and they were, I think, just totally abused with a lot of sexual innuendo and comments.
Yeah, and this is, and so we asked at our original news conference for a meeting with Universal Studios and also for an apology. And so we did get that meeting this week, because Universal reached out to us, which we appreciated. And so the girls, their moms, and we as their lawyers met with representatives on Wednesday, and there were top-level executives from Universal there. And they heard what happened at their Halloween Horror Night from our clients, Kayla and Roxy. They listened carefully as the girls expressed how they felt being called sluts, whores, and hookers, and being told that they were used to being on their hands and knees.
Wow.
And the executives were very attentive, as one of the mothers described how frustrated she was trying to communicate her complaint about this incident to Universal, and, you know, she kept being told that, you know, someone would get back to her the next day, and they didn't get back to her. So the executives acknowledged that what happened to our clients was wrong and against their policy. They apologized a number of times for what our clients experienced, and they acknowledged that their complaint procedure had failed and that they were revising it to make sure that if something similar were to happen in the future, that there would be a timely response. And they did indicate that they've taken measures to make sure that it would never happen again. And so we're very happy with the result that we obtained, because we feel that our clients were heard,
right,
and the changes were made.
Right.
But it is sad and it is frightening that it happened at all in a place that's supposed to be family friendly. And it does demonstrate that corporations should be very vigilant and make sure that in their efforts to maximize their profits, that they don't do so at the expense of children, because protecting children should be their highest priority. And although we were very disturbed about what happened to the girls at Universal's Halloween Horror Nights, I do want to commend Universal Studios Hollywood, because they took prompt action once we brought it to their attention. And sometimes corporations are very slow to take responsibility, and sometimes they try to justify misconduct by their employees, but Universal did not do that in this instance. They immediately took responsibility after we brought it to their attention. They reached out to us to meet with the girls and their moms to learn what happened to them and then to make sure that it never happened again. So I'm very proud of the girls, Kayla and Fisher and Roxy, because of their courage. They were able to achieve their goals, and a great result that's going to help to protect other children.
But they used Gloria Allred, and this is what I want to bring to the attention. Would they have cared if they wouldn't have hired Gloria Allred? Would Universal have finally or eventually stepped up and said, you know what, girls, you're right, we apologize? Did they have to have, you know, an attorney? And I don't know who came to who, if you said, hey, I'm going to take this case on, or they came to you.
No, in the thousands of clients I've represented, everyone always contacts me. I don't reach out and contact anyone.
Okay, that's good to
know. They all contact me from all over the country.
And
I have cases in other states as well. And
Gloria,
sometimes in other parts of the world,
and I hear that as a criticism a lot of you.
Well, that's because people don't know.
And they don't understand.
It's good to ask the question.
I'm an attorney, too. And how we get these people, we don't go looking for them. People refer them. There are other attorneys. I am sure that a number of attorneys, for instance.
Yeah, I do get a lot of referrals from other attorneys who don't handle the kinds of cases that we handle.
Absolutely.
Sexual harassment and employment, race discrimination, sexual orientation discrimination, AIDS discrimination, age discrimination, wrongful termination of high-level key employees.
And we do that all the time. Because we have a very, very large workers' compensation practice. These people come in. We have people who are sexually harassed, or if there's issues that are beyond the scope of our practice, we will refer them to Gloria's firm or to another firm.
Sure.
So people don't understand. We don't go looking for these clients. They come to us through referrals. One of the points, though, I do want to make,
I'd like Ellen for her to answer the question, because I understand that you guys are not ambulance chasers. Totally understand that. But there's so much injustice in the world.
Don't use those words, ambulance chaser.
It's an awful word. But all if right. I were seeing some injustice in the world, and I was a lawyer, I think I'd go, hey, let me help you. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know if some lawyers do that. But here's my...
Well, some lawyers do that when they don't have enough cases.
I see.
I don't have that problem.
Yeah, we don't have that problem.
You don't. Contacting me that
Gloria
I can help somebody
else. Problem.
And we try to take the... You know, we try to help the people where we can, based on a number of factors that we have to consider.
So the question Carrie has for you is, if Gloria Allred is not involved, does justice prevail?
But all I can say is the mom, Roxy's mom, tried a number of times on her own to get a response from Universal Studios, and apparently their complaint procedure was not working the way they would like it to work and way the mom would like it to work, and so she never got a response in several weeks of trying. And that's when she came to me.
The answer is yes, but here's a criticism that is thrown against Gloria Allred all the time. It's not something she's unfamiliar with, but people say, why is she in the media all the time with cases such as this? Why is she in front of the public? Why is her face always there with victims of sexual abuse with these two teenagers? And I have an answer. I want you to answer, but this is very important that people understand. If you don't do that, how would these issues ever come to light? How would we know about the exploitation of the employer, in this case Universal Studios, against these innocent girls, if you don't do that? People don't get it. They criticize you for saying, you know, you're a media whore or whatever you are. But what do you say to that? Because for me, I like being in the media because I can get my point across, where it wouldn't get across unless I'm in the media.
Okay. All I can say is, again, what I said before, we do provide a voice for victims, whether they're 13-year-old girls or older people, or people who are gay or lesbian, or people who are women, and we represent men, of course, as well. And, you know, I don't feel at all apologetic about providing a voice for those who have been denied their rights so that they may be afforded their rights. I don't think that only large corporations, government, those who are rich, powerful, and famous should have a voice. I happen to believe that individuals who have been the victims of injustice should also have their voice. If I can help them to have a voice, then I feel that is part of being a strong advocate for them, which I am. And of course, you're talking about women, for example. You're talking about girls. You're talking about a class of people who have been subordinated, who have been denied the rights. We don't enjoy equal rights for women in this country.
Right.
And so there are many people who would like women to shut up and go away and not have their rights. I'm not one of them. I'm very proud of the heroes that I represent. They are heroes, these young girls, women who have been sexually harassed, women who have been the victims of rich, powerful, famous men. And you know I've sued quite a few of them. Floyd Mayweather Jr. is one of them recently.
And that's a lot of money.
And,
there.
You know, on behalf of a woman that we represent that he has hurt. And you know what? They can have all of their PR spin control people out there attacking me. One thing I think they figured out after my practicing law for 39 years, there is literally nothing they can say to me or about me that is going to intimidate me. I am going to come back even stronger when they do. And as I say in my book, Fight Back and Win, if they're calling me names, that means I've won, because it means they do not have a good argument against the arguments that I am making on behalf of my client. So as soon as you hear, you know, me called by names of women's genital areas, or, you know, four-letter words they want to use, then you know they have no good argument, and my argument must be the best argument.
You know, yeah. A perfect example of that, if you want to go to YouTube now and look at the debate that Gloria had with Mark Levin, it was a few years ago on the Nikki Diaz case. I'm going to talk about that after the news. But I'll tell you, they were screaming at each other, and if you listen carefully, Mark didn't...
Well, I hope I wasn't screaming. But
well, yeah, you were screaming. But I'll tell you, Mark wasn't giving you a chance to speak, and he just kept basically calling you names. You had some points to make, and I want to talk about those points because they're important. And yes, there are two sides to every issue, but if you don't listen to what the perspective is, you're just going to get into a shouting match. And that's, there needs to be a voice, whether you agree with it or not. And you'll hear on that debate that Mark didn't want Gloria to speak. In fact, he kept turning down the volume when she was speaking and saying, I'm lowering her so she can hear me speak.
Well, the most important thing is, you know, are the issues that we talk about. The fact that we represent adult survivors of child sexual abuse, and we've represented many of them. Large groups, for example, against schools and against teachers and administrators who've sexually molested them. You know, people coming, you know, we just won a big, you know, case in the highest court in New York on that. So, you know, we care about the issues. I don't really care about the rest of it.
All right. Well, that's a good point. We are going to have to take a quick break for the news right now. We're going to have more with Gloria Allred after the news. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Dad, how safe is your home? One out of three older California homes needs new smoke alarms. Be a weekend warrior by replacing your outdated alarms with a Kidde worry-free line. Each contains a sealed-in battery proven to last a decade. No more low battery chirps or battery replacement saves you time and money. Up to $40 in battery costs over the life of each alarm. Plus, worry-free alarms comply with California's new smoke alarm requirements. Don't wait. Buy Kidde worry-free alarms today at the Home Depot.
Know what's always on my mind, kid? Safety. I live, eat, and breathe safety. When I wake up in the morning, I have a large cup of safety with two sugars and a dash of safety. Safety matters. Your safety, my safety, everybody's safety. That's why I love Grainger. Grainger has the products, services, and resources to help keep our facility safe and our people safer. Now pass me one of those safety donuts over there. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Did you just look down at your phone? You did it again, didn't you? You know, you're flying down the road in a 3-ton hunk of steel, and a text takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. At 55 miles per hour, that's long enough to travel the length of a football field and cause some serious damage. Turn it off. Trust me. Whatever it is, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Spring Black Friday is back at the Home Depot with once-a-year savings to help you spring all out for less. Right now, buy any Ortho Home Defense, Weed Be Gone, Roundup or Roundup Extended Control with Comfort Wand and get a free refill. Let's stock up now before weeds come calling, bugs come crawling. Let's do this. With Spring Black Friday savings right now on Ortho and Roundup, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. While supplies last, selection may vary by store. U.S. only.
Talk Radio 790
KABC.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
We are back right here on Gervie's Law on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I'm here with Carrie Kasem, and we are joined by our special guest today, Gloria Allred. And oh boy, our phones have been lit up. Unfortunately, I've made the executive decision not to take a lot of the calls because I want to hear what Gloria has to say. If you do want to call, it's 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-KABC. Call us anytime, and I just may not take your call, but maybe I will. Say something intelligent, and I'll think about taking your call. Gloria, there are so many cases that you have been involved with. Right now, we've just talked about a couple of recent ones. I want to talk a little bit about the NFL because I know you have represented two victims or alleged victims of C.J. Spillman, who is with the Dallas Cowboys. Did you know his real name is Claude Norman?
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now you know why he goes by C.J. Tell us a little bit about Claude Norman.
Well, I've never met him, but I can tell you something about my clients. And by the way, the NFL investigators were in my office interviewing one of my clients on Monday night for 5.5 hours.
5.5 hours.
A marathon.
Wow.
With very few restroom breaks, and it was like very intense. They came out from New York. Essentially, what happened was that, you know, recently, actually September 19th, the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell, held a news conference about domestic violence and sexual assault in the NFL, and essentially said, you know, that he was sorry, kind of a lot of mea culpas, and felt that they needed to get things right in the NFL in terms of how they handled allegations of domestic violence and sexual assault. Then the very next day, September 20th, one of my clients alleges she was raped and she alleged that to the police in Texas by C.J. Spillman, who, as you say, is now with the Dallas Cowboys.
Dallas Cowboys. And by the way, he's only made one tackle this year, so apparently he's tackling more women than he is NFL players. But well, you don't have to comment on that.
But in any event, so I asked, okay, well, what's going to happen now? They have a personal conduct policy in the NFL, and the personal conduct policy has said very clearly that it is not necessary for a player to be arrested or to be prosecuted or to be convicted for there to be discipline involving the player, that the NFL holds them to a higher standard, that anything that might affect the integrity of the NFL or undermine public confidence in the NFL could be a cause for discipline, and the players and teams have a duty to promptly report any allegations of domestic violence and sexual assault. So, I said, what is going to happen now to C.J. Spillman? By the way, in the Texas investigation, there's no outcome yet. They haven't made a decision as to whether they're going to arrest or not arrest or prosecute.
What about the San Diego situation?
And then another woman came forward. She's the California person.
Right.
She alleged that last year she reported to the police in Santa Clara that she had been sexually assaulted by C.J. Spillman. And there was no arrest in that case, and there was no prosecution. But so now I also represent her. In any event, I challenged the NFL. I said, are you going to investigate this or not? And they came to my office Monday night. NFL Commissioner Goodall had appointed Lisa Friel, a former Manhattan sex crimes prosecutor, to do investigations of these kinds of allegations. So she flew her out, and along with her associate, and they sat there, and I said they could interview my client. And I wonder, by the way, if C.J. Spillman will sit for 5.5 hours and answer questions from the NFL about this alleged incident in California. Somehow I doubt it,
right.
But I would like that to happen if he's open to that. So I don't know what the NFL is going to do about this. They're going to investigate. They wouldn't give me a time frame for when they're going to make a decision. They're going to do a thorough and a serious and intensive investigation is what they seem to indicate.
Mm-hmm.
I have no reason to think they wouldn't, but on the other hand, I did indicate to them that old saying that we have in the law, Alan, I know you're familiar with this, that justice delayed is justice denied.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
So, like, how long are they going to take on this? And they know that I'm watching. Unfortunately for Commissioner Goodell, we are the first case since his so-called new policy, since he said he was going to get his house in order.
But isn't
and
that a
so
sham?
Let's see what they're going to do. Is this just going to be damage control on the part of the NFL, or are they really going to do something when serious allegations like this are made?
I have a question for you, Gloria Allred. We're talking to Gloria Allred, and I'm so excited once again to have you on the show. Just as a lawyer, if you took a case on and you have somebody who's allegedly been raped and they're accusing someone, how do you know for sure? How do you know, okay, I'm going to take this woman on? Because there's been cases, let's say the Brian Banks case, where he was accused of rape, went to jail for 5 years, and then his accuser was recorded secretly saying she made the whole thing up.
I've never had a case like that myself, and I didn't represent anyone in that case
right.
that you're discussing.
No, but how do you know? How do you know, like, okay, this is something I'm going to take on?
Well, I mean, I make these decisions very carefully. And, of course, I'm going to speak to the prospective client, or, you know, myself, and make my own judgment as to whether or not I should be representing that person.
Because for me, if I took on a case and then realized, wow, this person is not telling the truth, I mean, that would destroy me. I would say, wow, I defended somebody that was not telling the truth. But then you have somebody, a second accuser, coming out, and that must be you. Do you wait for that? Do you wait for other people to come out and make the same
allegation? Well, I don't wait for it, but often that happens. And I've had that experience many times where I represent one person, and then someone contacts me about the same wrongdoer.
Right.
And that's good when women speak out. That happened with Herman Cain many years ago. I remember the person who wanted to be the Republican nominee
for
President of the United States.
Yeah.
I represented a woman who alleged that he had sexually harassed her. We had a big news conference in New York. And then Fox News and others vigorously attacked me, which I felt was good because I felt that they were scared. And that's why they were attacking me. They thought maybe I really had something there that could hurt them.
Right.
And sure enough, then another woman came forward, Ginger, her name was, and she specifically said one of the reasons she came forward is she didn't like the fact that I was being attacked and that my client was being attacked. She thought it was very unfair. And she revealed that she had a 13-year relationship while he's married, that she had an affair with him for 13 years, and that was the end of Herman Cain. He had to step down and was no longer seeking the nomination in the Republican Party. So, yes, often women will come forward, you know, when they know that, you know, that other women have done so and that are not going to live in fear, that women are going to have courage, that I'm going to stand up for them. And we're going to go forward together. So I'm very proud of the courage of all of these women who come forward.
But isn't that the whole point of the publicity surrounding, for instance, the NFL cases? You talk about C.J. Spillman. Of course, we know about Ray Rice. We know about Jonathan Dwyer, Greg Hardy, Ray McDonald. These are all NFL players who women have come out and said, I was abused. There was violence. There was domestic violence. When one comes out against one player, does it, in fact, give others the strength to speak? And
sometimes. And the question is, you know, should they be interviewed by the NFL? I'm going to reserve judgment on that until I see how they react on this case. But I will also say, I have represented many, many women against many athletes in many different sports.
Right.
And those, we settle many cases confidentially. I would say without ever filing a lawsuit or a piece of paper that anyone will ever see, we have many confidential settlements, and those women never have to go public, never speak out. No one will ever know their name. I'm the only one who will know their name except for opposing counsel.
Right.
And we'll settle those. So I want women to know that they don't necessarily have to make a decision to be public. If they have been wronged by a rich, powerful, famous person, whether it's an athlete or someone in the entertainment world or a businessman or just someone who has hurt them.
Does it stop the abuser? Does it actually stop? If you don't go public and say, look at what this man did to me. Look at what's going on. Look how many people he's hurting. If you don't go public with it, does it actually stop that person from doing it again to somebody else?
Well, there are going to be consequences for him. And that's a great question. And often the consequence is, you know, that he's going to have to pay a substantial settlement to my client for the wrongs that he has inflicted on her. You know, and depending on what those wrongs are, maybe he's beaten her. Maybe he sexually harassed her. Maybe he's stolen from her. Maybe he's made promises to her that he has broken and that we can prove. Maybe he has done, it is really disgusting to think of some of the wrongs that, I mean, we've represented women who've, you know, have gotten sexually transmitted diseases, from men who knew that they had these sexually transmitted diseases and represented that they didn't, and then the women, you know, had sex with them and they got the sexually transmitted disease. There are all kinds of terrible wrongs that are inflicted on these women, and I'm very proud of them, and that they stand up, and even if we do a confidential settlement, if he has to pay our client a lot of money, then I think that is teaching him a lesson about how he should also conduct himself in the future. There's no guarantee.
Gloria.
But, you know, he knows that he's had to pay. We don't believe that the cost of the wrong should be borne by the victim. The cost of the wrong should be borne by the wrongdoer, and let him pay, and pay quite a bit.
But you've gone on record and said that you're not seeking any money from the NFL. On the
CJ, in the case of the NFL, that's accurate,
right.
Yes.
And
I was talking about others.
Okay, so what are you getting out of that? If you're not seeking money
for yourself, what am I getting out of it?
Why aren't you just deferring to the criminal justice system?
Well,
oh, right.
The answer, Alan, is right. Because the criminal justice system is very different. It's a fair question than what I'm talking about. The criminal justice system requires that district attorneys make a decision that they can prove a case beyond a reasonable doubt. That's a very, very high standard, high burden of proof in the law. For a civil case, we only have to prove it by preponderance of the evidence. That is a lot less evidence.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I have asked the NFL, what is your standard of proof? I have not really gotten an answer to that. But, you know, there's a lot of, like, shuffling around with the answer. And
but they're a private corporation, so why do they have to tell
you? They are a private corporation, not compelled to do anything.
Right.
But since they made a representation publicly and want to get their house in order, guess what? I'm going to hold them to it.
Why wouldn't they pay? Hold on a second.
We have to take a break.
But, Alan, why wouldn't they pay? If somebody's been raped, if somebody's been given a sexually transmitted disease, if somebody's been
why is it their responsibility?
Living in fear. If somebody attacked me and gave me a sexually transmitted disease and I was raped, you're damn right you're going to pay.
Why
you're not
is
only
going to
pay
though?
Financially, you're going to pay publicly. That is absolutely...
So should every employer be held responsible for individuals' bad behavior?
We're not talking about that. We're talking about being raped and beaten and given diseases.
Well, it's ironic that I say that because I sue employers every day of my life, and they're held responsible in workers' compensation. We're going to talk about that because I'm going to get fired up after the break because we're going to talk a little bit about Meg Whitman's housekeeper, and I want to talk about workers' compensation system and how a lot of the corporations have put so much money into destroying individuals' lives. You're listening to the Gloria Allred Show right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Ken Michaels, host of the show Mortgage Makeovers. Hey, if you're interested in buying a home or maybe even refinancing your home, you need to make sure you're getting the best deal. Tune into my show, Mortgage Makeovers, every Sunday at 5 a.m. right here on KBC 790.
LA's first talk radio, 790 KABC, on the air, online, and on iHeartRadio.
We've been hearing a lot about Uber lately, so we decided to get out there and talk to some actual Uber drivers to get our questions answered.
Is it true you have to have, like, a super special car to drive with Uber?
You get to drive your own car, sign up, drive, and you make some money. All I have to do is turn on my phone, hit the road, and I start making money.
Do you get paid every week?
Yes. $500 a month is all I need, but I can make $5,000 a month if I needed to. I work less hours and I make more money.
To start earning great money with your car, visit drivewithuber.com. That's drivewithuber.com.
Orchard Supply Hardware, the home improvement store right in your neighborhood. You'll always find weekly specials, helpful service, and quality products for your paint, home repair, and backyard projects. Arranged in an easy-to-shop layout. Find a store near you at osh.com.
You're listening to Gerby's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
All right, you all ready for my diatribe now? It's Alan Gerby. I'm here with Carrie Kasem. We're on Gerby's Lawn. We have Gloria Allred. We're really enjoying this hour with Gloria. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Nikki Diaz. I think her name's Santillan, but she's the housekeeper for Meg Whitman. This happened a few years ago. Mark Levin, who is actually a commentator here, he's a host on KBC. He's a little bit farther to the right than this show is, but that's okay. He had a very obnoxious debate with Gloria just because they were screaming at each other. Okay, Gloria wasn't screaming at him. But the whole point, he started talking about why Gloria was representing Nikki and how she got her as a client and called her an illegal alien. How could you do it and represent him? And Levin, of course, what did I call him, Levin? Oh, I'm sorry. Thanks, Dino. The fact of the matter is that Gloria corrected him and said he's an undocumented worker. He wouldn't let Gloria speak about why she represented her. I have the same problem with workers' compensation, and I'll tell you why. Employers get away with so much. They hire undocumented workers, and then they point the finger at the undocumented worker when they get injured. Recently, there was the Salas case that came from the California Supreme Court, and it ruled based on Senate Bill number 1818, which was enacted in 2002, that state law employees are protected regardless of immigration status. And that was an important case because if someone is an undocumented worker and they get injured on the job, they still should be provided workers' compensation benefits because the employer employed them. There are certain rules an employer has to go through to check on status, and there has to be some liability for employers in workers' compensation when someone is injured on the job because there is no other alternative means for a lawsuit. So, Gloria, after I've just done my usual diatribe, tell us about the Nikki Diaz situation and why you got criticized so much for representing Meg Whitman's housekeeper.
Okay, well, I don't really care about the criticism because we were successful, and Meg Whitman, we outed her for who she really was, and as a result, Jerry Brown became governor.
Well, that wasn't so great for workers' compensation with Jerry Brown. Jerry Brown was a big disappointment.
Okay, well, whatever. The point is that what happened with Nikki was that she was an undocumented housekeeper, but she had worked for many years for Meg Whitman, who was running for governor of the state, and that she indicated that Meg Whitman knew that she was undocumented, and that she asked her for help in getting an attorney to legalize her status, and that she was then fired after, I think, 9 years of working
right.
for Meg.
Right, 9 years.
And that also she wasn't paid everything that she was owed by Meg Whitman. She came to me. We had a news conference. We filed a claim with the labor board to get her past due wages, unpaid wages, and we spoke out. And Meg Whitman then held a news conference the next day with her husband, and said responded to my allegation that they had received a letter from Social Security a number of years earlier, which should have indicated to them a tip off that they had an undocumented employee because the Social Security number was not consistent
right.
With the employees, with what Social Security has. They held a news conference, said they never received such a letter. I then held another news conference in response and blew up the letter and pointed to her husband's handwriting on it that said, Nikki, please check this.
Right.
And then she had a debate in Spanish language community with Jerry Brown. And then finally, her last gasp, Meg Whitman, was to hold another news conference saying that I essentially had made Nikki do the news conferences and speak out, that Nikki was really like a member of her family, and she would never have spoken out except for me. And so I did a news conference, which I called I Am Not Her Puppet News Conference, which then Nikki spoke out and said, I wanted to do this.
Yeah.
Gloria didn't make me do it. I wanted to let people know that housekeepers deserve respect and appreciation.
Yeah.
And Meg, you never treated... Don't say you. I was a member, that you treated me like a member of your family because you never treated me like I was. And then with that, the polls made a significant change.
Sure.
Meg fell behind. Independent women who were going to vote for Meg Whitman got very upset with her response to the housekeeper and voted for Jerry Brown. And Jerry Brown, who had put less money into the race and who was behind the polls, won. So I say that's the power of a housekeeper, speaking out, being fearless. People ask me, how is Nikki today? Is she still in California? She's still in California. No, she has not been deported.
Right.
I'm very proud of her. That took a lot of courage on her part.
Do you think that if Meg would have said, she gave me a false Social Security number, I had her forever, I didn't know what to do at that point. When I got the letter, I just thought maybe she'd handle it. It's my fault. I did hire somebody like that, and I shouldn't have done that, and just admitted it.
Well, I mean, I think it's always good for people to be honest with the public. People can forgive a lot if they feel that, politicians are being honest with them, and they resent a lot when they're not.
Right.
And so I don't think it was a good idea for her to... there were allegations made that somehow Nikki had intercepted the United States mail, if the letter came to Meg Whitman's home, which, of course, that would be a felony.
Yeah.
I'd be accusing her of a felony. By the way, postscript, we did go to the labor board and we were successful in getting her wages that she was owed as well.
Yeah, and, you know, people don't understand. There are other issues. It's not simply a lawsuit. There
well,
are
it wasn't
issues.
A lawsuit, but it was
there's
a claim
for, at the labor board.
Yeah.
And there's reimbursements, there's vacation pay, all kinds of stuff. And Gloria has represented these people. So people think, well, it's a lawsuit. Well, it's not a lawsuit, but there's still rights that are violated.
But we're creative lawyers, and we believe in working to win justice for our clients, or as much justice as possible under our legal system. And that, so we'll find ways to do it. You know, sometimes it involves a lawsuit, sometimes it's a confidential settlement, sometimes there are other ways to do things. And so thinking outside the box, something we do. The point is to get the best possible outcome for our clients.
Right.
I have a question concerning the law, because I want to know this with my case. If you win conservatorship over somebody, and it's very hard to do, to take win conservatorship over a wife or a husband, and you win that conservatorship, and when you do, your fees are paid by the estate. That's just how it's done. That would not be a lawsuit, correct? That would just be, well, she won the case. The estate has to pay for it.
Okay, well, I don't handle any matters in probate. It's not my area of expertise, so I can't really answer that. But, you know, if there's a right, generally, it's a right that can be enforced.
So we only have a few more minutes. I want to hear about a few more of the cases that you're currently working on. What other stuff is going on that we haven't heard about in the news, perhaps, and maybe we will, because we see you in the news every few weeks, every week. So let's foreshadow.
Well, all right. I'll just give you a little hint later on this week, and I'll be representing a rape victim in a very, very interesting case that you haven't heard about yet, but that'll be on Friday, and it's something very different. But having said that,
I
want to wait for my client to speak out, but we just won a big victory in the highest court in New York. We were suing the coach of the Syracuse basketball team. We represent two adult survivors of child sexual abuse, Bobby Davis and Michael Lang, and they allege that they were sexually abused by the assistant coach some years ago when they were ball boys for the basketball team. And in any event, it was too late for them to sue for child sexual abuse. But when the story came out, after the Sandusky story came out, and ESPN did this story, then the coach, Bohan, suggested to the press that perhaps, Bobby Davis, my client, was just saying what he did because that he was saying that he was a liar and that perhaps he'd just done this for the money. And, well, he hadn't filed any claim or asked anybody for any money at that point. He just, you know, wanted it to be known. He wanted to protect other people. So we sued the coach, alleging that it was defamation to call him a liar under those circumstances. And we got kicked out of the lower court. We lost in the next level of court in New York. We just won a unanimous decision in the highest court in New York that it is, you know,
was it remanded
potentially
back?
Defamatory. So now we're back and we can proceed with our lawsuit. It's a very important case, and we're just so proud. There's so many adult victims of child sexual abuse who never spoke out when they were children against their abusers. And now they are speaking out, and now we seek to win justice for them, and they so richly deserve it. They need to have not only a voice, but they need to be compensated for the terrible harm that was done to them.
So there's no statute of limitations when it comes to that, correct?
Well, actually, there's a statute of limitations for filing sexual abuse claims, yes, and it's different in many states.
How is that possible?
Everybody needs to consult a lawyer and find out what the statute of limitations is in their state. In New York, they have one of the worst and most restrictive statutes of limitations. However, we were able to sue for defamation, and we were within the time period to do that.
How is that possible when you're a child, you've been raped maybe over and over again, you don't come out because you're terrified, you turn 18, 19, 20, 21, whatever it may be, and you do come out, and now you can't do anything about it, and that man's still out there, or a woman?
Well, I mean, you know, there's statute of limitations for criminal prosecution, there are different statute of limitations for filing a civil lawsuit, so everybody needs to consult with a lawyer and find out if they're still within a time period to win justice.
We will have to continue that conversation with Gloria Allred on part two of her show another day because we've run out of time. Gloria, thank you so much for coming on Derby's Law.
I enjoyed it so much.
We really appreciate it. Good luck with everything you're doing. We're going to be listening on Friday. Everyone, watch Friday. Yeah. We're going to hear some great news, hopefully, from Gloria Allred.
Oh, yeah. It's very interesting. It's a very interesting case.
Thanks. Okay, well, that's going to be a wrap right here on Derby's Law. Thanks for listening. Talk Radio 790 KABC.